I'm driving in my car. I turn on the radio.
How about you let me drive?
Oh, no, 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 no.
Who's gonna drive you home?
Honey, please, I'll do the driving.
Drive on.
Excuse me, I wanna drive.
It's the question that drives us.
This is the Drive to the Close.
That funky music will drive us till the dawn.
On Bloomberg Radio.
All right, everybody, just about 17 minutes left in today's trading session. Carol Masser, along with Madison Mills, live in our Bloomberg Interactive Brokers studio, streaming on Bloomberg Originals and, of course, on YouTube. Let's get right to it. You heard Charlie breaking down the numbers, but let's get to our Drive to the Close guest. Doug Sciocca is back with us. He's CEO and partner at Kavar Capital Partners. They've got roughly $1 billion, over $1 billion in assets under management. And Doug is based in Leawood, Kansas, and that's where we find him via Zoom. And I am completely disappointed because I don't see any of the red and yellow on you. Come on. The Chiefs won.
The Chiefs won. The town's in an incredibly celebratory mood. We've got clients and friends in Philly, so we wanted to keep a pretty neutral posture. But I'll tell you what, it's a great time to be in Kansas City. We absolutely love this team.
It was I don't blame you. It was a great game, and they are an incredible team. Incredible market. How do you describe it, Doug?
Yeah, I mean, the market's been very resilient, undeniably. And, you know, I think it's interesting because it's almost Pollyannish to suggest that a soft landing is possible. It's not very a popular opinion, right? But when you take strong employment combined with moderate wage growth, combined with a shrinking balance sheet, declining product inflation, improving non-housing services inflation, and pretty resilient profitability, resilient profit reporting coming out of this the fourth quarter. I don't know. I think you can make the case, and I think the market's reflecting such.
Can I just say, Ken Rogoff, I've been obsessed with this interview he did on surveillance earlier, and he said, think soft landing without the landing. I mean, and this is that kind of, whether it's the rolling recession idea or lack thereof of recession, like this whole idea that everybody is kind of confused, Doug, that we are seeing still that strong labor market, that maybe we won't ultimately see growth come undone despite the Fed continuing to raise rates.
Yeah, I actually saw that interview this morning, and it followed one by the Richmond Fed president,
yes.
Tom Sparkin.
Yeah.
And he made a couple great comments on there, Carol, but the two I actually wrote down. One was, you know, managing markets is a fool's errand. And I feel like the Fed governing body feels like that is a responsibility of theirs to assess their commentary on intraday activity in both the VIX and the S&P 500. I don't know that that's a wise allocation of their time and effort. But the other the comment that President Barkin made was, make policy in the economy you are given, not in the one you wish you had. And I think that's just so critical if you're going to retain that emphasis on being data dependent. And I think having that flexibility is inherent in crafting good monetary policy.
So, Doug, if it is a fool's errand to try and get the market to kind of align with the Fed, is there anything the Fed could do to kind of shake the equities market and get equities on its side on this kind of like hawkish anti-inflationary path?
Well, I think, Maddie, right, the market's a leading indicator. So it is really interesting to remember because they raised rates for the first time 13 months ago.
Yeah.
And then I guess it was probably maybe 15 months ago, or not quite, I've said the other way, 11 months ago, Fed President Bullard came out and he said something that absolutely shook the market to its core back in March or April last year. And he said, hey, look, we're nowhere near it being done. We're actually just getting started. And we may raise rates in bunches. In fact, we may raise rates by 75 basis points or so at a meeting because, and this is a direct quote, we did that in 1994 and the world didn't end, if you remember that.
Yeah.
Well, they didn't do it once last year. They raised rates by 75 basis points four times.
Right.
And the world didn't end, but it was a very abysmal year for equities. So I think the equities were anticipating just how core being shaken, as you mentioned, Maddie, could actually be experienced by some of that Fed rhetoric and implementation.
But
so
go,
it got out in front of it to a large part.
But Doug, go back to like this whole idea that typically in a higher rate environment, right, that you don't see the tech names or the NASDAQ do well, and yet it has been. And so that seems a little confusing. But going back to what Rogoff said, you know, and just like you were talking about, you know, we're seeing resiliency when it comes to the economy. We're seeing it when it comes to some of the numbers that we've got in terms of corporate profits, surprisingly so. And so does that provide a floor when it comes to equities. Maybe we don't see a really strong rally for a while, but maybe we've created a floor.
Could be, Carol. That's a great point. I think, obviously, as quickly as the NASDAQ has gotten out of the gate, it could be the underwind of some short covering that took place, combined with better than expected profit reports, combined with, and this is a really important point, right, the cresting that we've seen in the dollar going back to November of last year. Because so many of these big tech companies are multinational in scope. If you have highly efficient business models that are doing what they can to control costs, because they're the ones that are on the forefront of all the layoffs that we've seen, now you're repatriating profits in weaker dollar terms, which is going to enhance and preserve those margins that are right now under assault and high introspection. So it could just create this floor because they over-discounted them to death. And the reality is, for the economy to move along at all, even if not in a vibrant fashion, they're going to need that contribution from high technology companies.
Does wage disinflation give you hope that the Fed can pause or pivot at any point in the near future, Doug?
It does, Manny. I think what we saw yesterday that kind of catalyzed the big 1.5% move we saw in the S&P, right? You had that household income survey pointed to wage disinflation expectations, the single largest one-month drop in the nearly 10-year history of that series. That was really, really powerful. And for those who have been predicting this wage price spiral to really catalyze that next leg of volatility and market drop, it hasn't happened yet.
You mentioned the dollar index down almost 10% since late September. Hey, real quickly, Doug, 30 seconds. Got some money to put to work. Where do I put it right now?
Yeah, two places we think, Carol. I mean, one in fixed income, right, just playing somewhat of the mean reversion trade. Worst year in the history of the bond market last year. I think good having good collateral diversification is going to give you sustainable tax equivalent yield pickup. And then also look internationally, right? International investments, if you just look at the EAFE, over the past 15 years, has actually trailed the S&P by 214%. You've got a trailing multiple of 12 times versus 17 or 18 for the S&P. You have a lot more value than growth in the international indices. And lastly, typically they pay 2 times the dividend that a domestic company will pay.
Yeah, I feel like there's been a pig pile among investment managers when it comes to emerging markets in particular, looking outside the U.S. Doug Sciocca, congratulations on the Chiefs. I know you are being very fair, but nonetheless, great to check in with you again. Doug Sciocca, Chief Executive Officer Partner at Kavar Capital Partners, over $1 billion in assets under management, joining us.